there's a couple of things you can try. Back to that, W2JK.
That's very true. Anybody else have some suggestions? Marco, why don't you take a shot at it now then? What do you think? Got a lot of good ideas there.
No, you had a lot of great ideas there. KCBAR, KC2ZMA. Yeah, I really appreciate that. And just get ideas. I just wanted to put something up. Like, for example, portable day. When we go to portable day, everybody has a string up, you know, dipoles up in the trees and all that. And just something they could put up, like, quick, you know, like, just put it up. And, Gordon, you mentioned hamstick now. It's very similar to CVs, but it's a little bit longer. So you basically need to use a hamstick. I do have a tuner, so I can also put a tuner to it as well. So a hamstick, you would definitely need a tuner, right? Am I thinking that right? Or if it's resonated for 10 meters, you probably won't.
Okay, so if you get a 10-meter hamstick, it's going to be just a hair shorter than a 10-meter whip. 10-meter whips are about 104 inches or so long. So, you know, they're pretty large. You might be comfortable with that, but the others thought it's that if you use a hamstick and, you know, you've got the more flexible tip and you can either loosen the set screw and mark where it's supposed to go, or you can just kind of bend the tip around in your RAV4. What I would probably be tempted to do is put the whole thing, including a couple of sections of masting, inside of a piece of 2 PVC pipe and carry it on the roof. That way when I set it up, I pull out the sections of tubing, you know, masting and the feed and all that other stuff, and just have it ready to go.
Okay, alright, I see what you mean there, Gordon. Okay. Alright, I appreciate it. Yeah, just get his ideas. I appreciate everybody giving me ideas. So, yeah, I'm going to rig something up and figure something out to do there. And that's basically what I wanted. Something that you can put up quick, something like portable day. And, you know, just get on 10 meters and so, and just for something quick up and down. And to learn how to basically design another, other than a dipole, you know, something different on 10 meters there. But I appreciate it. And thanks a lot, guys, for all the ideas and so. No problems. Thanks. Back to that KC to VMA.
WI2W, late check-in.
Hey Steve, how are you? And any suggestions for Marco's need for a 10-meter portable antenna?
Well, I've been only sitting here for about 30 seconds, so a 10-meter portable antenna. Well, I would say a full-size 10-meter dipole made out of metal, as high as you can get it. So you can get a you can get one of these 31-foot fiberglass masts that I use from Jackite, and you can get a dual. It's used for a dual hamstick, so you could clamp it onto the maybe the second or third section of the 31-foot mast, so you get it up 25 feet or so, or you could use a painter's pole or a pool pole that guys use with a strainer on the end for skimming the stuff out of the pool. Basically, just some kind of a mast, collapsible mast you can set up. Put one of these dual dipole adapters. They have a 3/8x24 connector on each side. And then get a collapsible whip. MFJ sells collapsible whips. And then you just extend the whip out. No coils, so you don't have any loss in the coils. At 10 meters, it's only 8 foot on a side, so no big deal. And put that up in the air, and then it's rotatable, too, for direction. So a half wave on 10 meters is only about 16 feet high, So you'll get a nice dipole pattern. You know, you put something up 25 feet in the air, and it'll work really great. And you can also use it on other bands if you get a longer whip with some more privileges. So that's there's a quick and dirty answer.
Since a lot of us are echoing that particular solution, let me also point out, Marco, you can get the little 3/8 24 screw mounts that allow you to put two or three hemsticks together. You get one for each side of that, and you could do like 40 and 10 when you upgrade. You could even do 40, 10, and 6, something like that, and basically make yourself a fan dipole, tri-band dipole that would be relatively compact. It wouldn't be very efficient on 40, but it would work, and give you 10 and 6 meters as well. So, and what's nice about that approach is you can kind of grow into it as you go, as you go forward. And I like the idea of getting it, you know, 25 or so feet in the air. You know, personally, I would just use a couple of 10-foot sections, or even maybe a couple of 8-foot sections cut down or something like that. Or 10-foot sections cut down to 8 or something, or 9, to make it a little more stable. But you can also use the fiberglass or aluminum poles. If you have a set, you could certainly do that. I don't have a set to sell you, otherwise I would, believe me. But that's another thought as well for getting the thing in the air. And the key point is to make sure that the antenna mounting fixture, the hub, is bolted to a piece of masting all the time, so that way you're not messing with that. Just screwing the elements in and attaching a coax and pushing it up in the air. KC2ZMA, K2BAR.
2JEK.
Dead, Doc. K2BAR, KC2ZMA. Okay, very good. Thank you there, Steve. Appreciate you coming in there and tell me more. I do remember your mast and your tenant setup, a portable thing. I think you were doing 20 meters. I forgot what band you were doing, but okay, now I have a better idea now. And thanks for that advice there and all that. I appreciate that, guys. I'll make one soon. Probably not this year because busy with the Christmas stuff coming up, but I'll make it there soon. I appreciate it, guys. I really do appreciate it. Back to that. KC2ZMA.
2JEK again.
Go ahead, Don.
One thing that some people do is they take a plank and they use that to drive the car on this plank. And this plank has a pipe flange mounted on it with a piece of pipe. And on that piece of pipe, you would mount a short length of aluminum tubing, which is insulated from the pipe, and you would just put in the you drive your car on that thing, and then you just take a couple pieces of couple longer pieces of aluminum tubing, and put them into the insulated pipe on the insulated aluminum tubing that's part of your of the plank assembly there. And you have to stretch out a couple radials on the ground, but you could have you can get yourself an 8-foot whip real quick that way.
Yeah, you certainly do. That's a good idea. All right. Any more ideas for Marco? Mr. Marco, it's all yours.
Okay. Nothing more. Appreciate it, guys. I really do appreciate it. And I have those little ideas now. So I'll figure something out. I really appreciate everybody jumping in there and telling me ideas with that. And it's better asking here than go on the internet. And it's like, you don't even know what direction to go on the internet there. Very good. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. No more. That's good. KC2ZMA.
Very good, Marco. That's very helpful. Good to refresh ourselves in that. WI2LYP, you had a question, Mr. Millen. Good evening.
K2BAR, WI2LYP. Good evening, Gordon and the net. I ordered a Carolina Wyndham 40-meter dipole, and although right now it's not the weather to put it up, but eyeballing the trees and so forth, and I went through their instruction book. It was pretty detailed on how to go about where to put it and so forth. However, one quick question. When you put up a bare wire dipole like that, does it have an effect if you come in contact with tree limbs on the wire, you know, inside the insulators? If you know what I mean. If you know, you string it up with the insulators end to end and so forth, but if the middle of it, say, comes in contact with any tree limbs or branches, does that have an effect on the performance?
Yeah, it most certainly does. Depending on, and it varies according to the amount of moisture that's both on and in that tree structure.
Okay, well, that was, you know, of course, all the instruction pictures just shows two trees with the dipole strung between them. Don't say anything about anything along the way, so I was wondering, you know, if you got to fish it through other trees, then you've got to get between the branches rather than, you know, if it's above or below.
Well, it's a little wispy stuff is not going to be as much of an issue as big, heavy, clunking branches.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Yeah, you know, I have a lot of trees around. I'm just eyeballing where would be the best location to put it up. And as I said, the instruction book didn't have anything on that, so just wanted to ask that question. That does it for me, Gordon.
Let me back up for a minute. If you have, if you have a lot of foliage, and again, moisture is going to matter a lot, then you know, you're going to have issues all over again. So just consider that over time and how you deploy the darn thing. So think about, so do think about it as you position. I mean, there are a lot of people who put a lot of dipoles in trees and they go passing right through the foliage. The lower frequencies are going to be less of an issue. The higher frequencies are going to be more of an issue. This Wyndham is an 80-meter Wyndham?
No, it's the 40-plus model. I have a tuner. I'll probably be able to tune 80 on it, I think.
How long is the top?
I'm not sure. I don't have it here in front of me. It's downstairs in my basement. I just opened up the box and looked at the instruction book. The 40 plus has the two copper leads with insulators on the ends attached to that to the unit in the middle. It looks like a piece of PVC pipe. Then they use a short length of coax to another PVC pipe, which is probably another coil or whatever, and then you lead your antenna lead out of there. So I'm not really sure. It's the 40-meter deal, and it's about, I guess, it's not in the center, but it's about, probably about two-thirds of the way in one direction.
Right, okay. Well, I think that'll work just fine, so... you know, just get it up as high as you can, and it's all as flat as you can. If you have to bend it around, you know, do what you got to do to get it done. You'll be a happy boy. You'll have lots of good DX out of that.
WITLYP. Actually, I'm kind of surprised that I'm making some overseas contacts with an old Cushcraft. AV3, that's a 10, 15, and 20 meter vertical, and I just have it lashed to my deck in the back. It's almost at ground level, and actually it's sitting on two Gordon poles that I had left over, and I drove a ground rod in and grounded the bottom half of it, and I've talked to Kosovo, Germany, France, and then all over the United States, so not doing bad with that, so hopefully the dipole will even improve things.
Gordon Poles, huh? Green military mass. Very nice, very, very nice. Okay. Anybody have any other suggestions for Bill?
W2JK.
Mr. Don, go right ahead.
Yeah, a week ago Sunday during the CW DX contest, I was sitting here in the shack with my headphones on. I heard a big loud bang outside. Looked out the window and saw a great humongous branch about 40 feet long had come down out of the maple tree in my backyard. Now that maple tree had my 40 meter dipole in it, and a long wire that was underneath the dipole from another location. And end result is we decided to take the tree down because of it being a hazard. And I got the long wire out of it, all right, but I couldn't get the 40-meter dipole out. I was wondering what's going on. I figured the pulley that was holding the 40-meter dipole had gotten, the rope had gotten tangled up in the tree, the bark had grown up around it. But last Friday, the tree trimmers guys came. They took the tree down, and they took the 40-meter dipole was hung up in the tree when they started. When they brought it down, the one wire had a piece of the one end of the dipole had a twig about about 3/4 of an inch in diameter had grown up around the 40-meter dipole wire of the antenna. I just made contact the other day Japan on 15 meters with the thing. It's QFP, so all is not lost, I guess, if you did have something like contact with the tree, but it's better to stay away if you can. Back to that, W2JK.
Well, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So my question is, once they took the tree down, what did you use to hold up your dipole?
Okay, well, the dipole came down because there's nothing to put it up on. What I did do, I have right now temporarily, I have just a piece of conduit out there, a 10-foot piece of plastic conduit. It's like spaghetti, but the long wire is up on that. The long wire originally was about 17 feet off the ground out by the tree. So I got to get some aluminum tubing and put it up, and then from there, it goes from my grain gutter out to the tree, or to a 17-foot pole, which I intend to get. And then from there, across the yard to another pole. And I have to get another pole. The 40-meter dipole came down. I went up on the roof yesterday, took that down, because it was hanging down the roof and everything. I had to get it down. I think what I might do with that is cut it down to a 15-meter dipole. I mounted between the TV mast and the mast on my 6-meter vertical of my 6-meter dipole. I've got about 20-some feet in between, so I should be able to put a 15-meter dipole there, so I'll have a 15-meter dipole out of it anyhow. And I can still use the end-fed wire in all bands, so I'll have an extra band so I can switch between 15 and 20 meters to my ground plane, and then whatever the long wire is, you know. So that's my plan anyway. Back to that, W2JK.
Very nice. Okay. Anybody else have any thoughts? Okay, Bill, back to you. That'll give you food for thought.
K2BAR, WI2OIP. Yeah, it definitely does. I have some choices. I can... one of them I can run from the house to a high tree and be in the clear, but I'm trying to keep this as disguised as possible as well, running it along the property line where there's a line of trees. I think probably what I'm just going to have to do is maneuver it when I put it up, pull the center out, tighten the end. I'll need some assistance. you'll pull up the end while holding the center out to get around some of the obstacles. But I'm confident I can work something out, and I appreciate the information. K2BAR, back to you, Gordon.
That's great. That's super. Alrighty. Thank you for that question. That was a good question. Got a lot of good questions tonight. Alrighty, our next question is from Rick, W2LCN, K2BAR. How are you, Rick? What's up?
Hello, Gordon, K2BAR. This is W2LCN. Name is Rick. This is my question, and I'll try and get this through. I don't know if I'll get the answer or not, but basically my question is this. Is the command very important? I am setting up a time zone, and I'll get into what I'm working on now, but it's asked me to do a command called dpkg-reconfigure-locals. This is dealing with setting up the time zone. It said when I had run this that the locals were not available. Now, I had set up the time zone for America, New York, and what I figured was, well, maybe it's not that important to have the locals set up. I don't really know what that means. So I skipped that step and ran the AmPortal restart, and now the Asterix server, the Asterix PBX server, is up and running. It's fully operational. Everything seems okay. And I want to know, is that a critical step? And for those of you who are just kind of picking up on what we've been working on, we have taken a Raspberry Pi and installed an Asterix PBX server on it so that we can utilize the mesh network to run a voice over IP phone system. So I'll throw it back out to the net, and I'd like to know, is this reconfigure locals necessary when setting up something on an Asterix server? Back to net.
Yeah, I'm not really familiar with the command. DP, what was that again?
That was DPKG hyphen reconfigure locals.
DP-reconfigure?
That is correct. DPKG hyphen, or the little, the little minus sign, I think that's a hyphen. I'm just kind of drawing a blank completely. So DPKG, the little minus sign, reconfigure space locals.
Yeah, I'm not sure that, I don't remember the syntax for that, so I'm looking it up as we speak. So, all right, DPKG is used to manage DEMP packages in a Debian GNU build, which is what this is all based on. So, here's the good news. You can go onto Google, and there's a couple of DPKG tutorials and information sheets that will probably help you. I don't know what the local option is. My guess is that's probably setting like a time constant. I mean a time zone. So I think you're probably all right. But you may get some goofy logs or if you try to integrate it with other folks, you might have a problem. DP is a local. DP hyphen install local. And I'm not seeing that in this little bit of information I've got, but I think I think local is the package that you're manipulating there, because DPKG is the package manager install or reconfig or whatever you're doing is the action, the verb, if you will, and then local is what you've been playing with. So my gut feeling is you're probably all right.
EFJ.
EFJ, go. Welcome aboard, Paul.
Thanks. The local is really to set up the internationalization features of the PKG, I mean, of that in that, particular instance. So since by default it's most likely going to be all US-based, you shouldn't have to worry about it. Now, as far as time is concerned, if your time, the local time of the Raspberry Pi is set to local time, and if your time zone is also set to local time, then all should be okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. Paul, I'm sensing a French accent. Am I correct?
Yes, I am originally from Haiti.
Haiti, okay, very good. All right. Welcome. That's pretty cool. I had two classmates in high school who joined us, I guess, in my junior year. Jacques Torchon, and I forget what his brother's name was, but T-O-R-C-H-O-N. They were good guys.
Very Haitian names indeed.
Torchon, yeah, oui, bien sûr. Okay. All right. That's a good thing. So I take it you have a bit of a Linux or Unix background.
I do. In a prior life, I was a Unix essay.
Excellent. All right. Are you a student or are you working or what's the scoop?
I currently work in IT. I do mostly business process management. But still dabble in Linux and Unix when I can. 52EFT.
Yeah. Gotta pay the bills somehow, right? So, yeah, I hear you loud and clear. But it's fun stuff. Yeah. Alrighty. That was helpful. Anybody else have any thoughts they want to add to Rick's question? Hey Rick, I have one, and that is, do we have a copy of what that points to? The local internationalization packages Paul mentioned, the timing, time zone, or maybe time zone and other characteristics, what they might have in mind. I'm wondering if there's a user local an Etsy local that might be built and have, or actually it says here it might be the DB scripts is it's rooted in user local, but I'm wondering if it manages resources somewhere else that you could get a sample of what that internationalization profile file might look like.
All right, Gordon. I'm sorry. I just dropped that last part of your conversation. But as far as what does it point to, it points to a something inside the package configuration for en.us, and apparently that is dealing with a particular portion of the time that it's going to look at. But initially, when you go through the configure minus sign time zone, it allows you to pick America and then go down another menu and pick New York. So I don't know if it's going to be critical. The Asterisk server is up and running. It's operational and everything looks fine on it. I'm at the point where you can go ahead and configure this so it starts to look out to recognize the phone or look in. I'm not sure if I'm using the right terminology, but you guys both put me at a little bit of ease there. That's kind of nice. So maybe I'll just look into this later, but for now I'll leave it the way it is. But Paul, thank you for that wealth of knowledge. There was a little bit of confidence there that I needed to kind of try and go maybe to the next step on this. But thank you very much. I like where this is going so far. It's a nice streamlined little application on the Raspberry Pi, and now that it's up and running, it's very easy to see what it's doing. So it's kind of exciting, and hopefully that won't be an issue. This is W2LCN. I will send it back over to Matt.
I'm just thinking, if you run Raspi config, do sudo Raspi config, you can manage that stuff from in there and bypass that whole nonsense. So if you're not getting the right time zone for your trouble, you can simply go in there and manage it from within there, okay?
That sounds good. I've seen two possible solutions, but I wasn't sure why the gentleman who had put this broadband hamnet using the Asterisk CVX server, in his tutorial as he goes through with ease, and when he pulls up this command for the reconfigure locals, it has no problem, and it allows him to bring up a dot-based screen, and he's able to go down and select the areas he wants to select. But when I did the exact same thing, it's clearly just not part of the package, part of the install for this Raspberry PBX. So I just wanted to make sure that I hadn't made some small mistake and something that would cause me bigger problems down the road.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah, I don't think it's going to cause you a bit of problem at all. Once I realized what you were messing with, the U.S. personalization, I think you're fine, and you can manipulate that from Raspi config, and God knows I would suggest you do it that way. You will be a lot happier, to say the least. All right. Anybody else have any thoughts on or questions about the Raspberry Pi config, or specifically the Asterisk telephone server? By the way, you can turn that into a whole nice telephone system for your house, including something that'll forward to your cell phone, and your home phone could use forward to your cell phone, all sorts of other fun things. So, really neat. Anybody have any questions? Alrighty. Just reference, one of the thoughts we had for running the telephone PBX over the mesh, it would give people a very familiar application to use, and that is a telephone. And to facilitate that telephone, you do need to have an IP-based phone, and that's not fun to do. So one of the things that we thought about that we could certainly do is load a SIP client, a VoIP phone client, on either a current cell phone or even a PC, and go from there, register them on the network, on the Asterisk network. And then you'd be able to make phone calls just like you normally would. It'd be kind of neat. You could even use them with Skype and a few other things if you want. But that would allow you to use your Wi-Fi from your cell phone to make other phone calls from your local network or across the mesh. Anyway. So, any other thoughts people might have, please call K2BAR. Brady. Are there any other stations with who want to check in or add anything to the net tonight?
K9GTM, just checking in. Coming off my hockey game, I just turned the radio on, so we got to check in.
How'd you do, Sean?
We won 6-3, and now we get any championship next week.
Yeah, Jeremy is on two different teams. His Division One team got beaten by Team Bergenfield last week, and then this week his Division Two team won, and so they're in their game next week. But I don't know if Jeremy can play. He got flashed on a pinky. His fingernail is black. It's pretty beat up. All right. I'm glad everything's good, though. Let's see. Rick, did you have anything you wanted to add?
No, I'm okay. I just wanted to see if anyone had any type of confirmation on this, and Paul was definitely, he knew what he was doing, so definitely a lot more than I did. So I'm going to just proceed with this setup tomorrow and see if maybe I can take my cell phone and see if I can adapt it by using one of these SIP client software functions and just play around with it. But the server's running on the mesh network, so it's kind of cool. But no further questions. I'll send it back over to K2VAR. This is W2LPN.
Okay, very good. Let's see. One of my tasks after we get the net over is I'm going to see if the USB port on my HP tablet can SSH into a Raspberry Pi. In which case, then I have a really, really easy to work with tablet as a console. That would be just lovely. Alrighty. Hopefully that'll work out, but that's my task after the net. Alrighty, anybody else with anything for the net?
WITW, new topic.
Okay, very good. Steve will get your new topic in a minute. There was another station I need to. Who was the other station?
Yeah, cool thing here is November 2, India Zebra Echo, N2IZE. Good evening, Gordon. Oh, just joining the net. No questions or comments at this time. Just figure we check in and say hello.
Okay, very good. And your name again? I'm sorry, I forgot.
Miss John, Juliet Oscar Hotel November, John.
Very good. Was there anybody else for the net? All right, just one quick announcement, and that is that the Fairlawn Radio Club dinner is tomorrow night for those members and their guests. Should be lovely. And it will be at the community center, the same place where we had the auction last week, which was a lot of fun and a success. And let's see, was there anybody else? Was there anything else? I guess that was about it. Let's see, it was one thing I did want to mention. Oh yes, and next week on the 14th, the Boy Scout Troop 139 Adventure Crew 7373 is going to be having a flea market in Bergenfield, and we look forward to your participation there. And hopefully you'll be able to attend. If anyone needs any directions on how that works, please let me know, and we'll go from there. Alrighty, with that in mind. Oh, by the way, it's also a holiday craft fair, and the room is full of vendors. I mean, we're going to have vendors upon vendors, although we did reserve some space for hams who just come and want to have a table. You can get that. That's not a problem. But KGI will be there, and others will be there as well, including Kathy Souter, who has all the little connectors and things like that. So with no further ado, WICW, your new topic, K2BAR.
Hi, this is WITW. So my question is, I have a small tower, 40-foot tower, I have a C3SS, a small tri-bander on the tower, and I want to add a 6-meter beam. I have a 5-element, I think it's 5-element Cushcraft, 6-meter beam. I'm going to extend the mast on top of the tower a bit so I can get 4 to 5 foot spacing between the two antennas. I'd really like to keep the tri-bander on the top of the mast because I spend most of my time on HF and only do a little bit of 6-meter activity when the band's open. So my question is, can I put the 6-meter antenna below the tri-bander, say 4 to 5 feet away, and will it still work having the tri-bander on top of it?
That'll work. It might deform the pattern a little bit, but with how many elements is the 6-meter beam and which brand?
It's a Cushcraft, and I think it's 5 elements.
So it's a short 5 elements, right? 18-foot or less boom?
Not quite sure, but it's a short, it's not a long boom yacht.
I think their 5-element is actually might be on a 12-foot boom, actually. Yeah, I think it'll work fine. It's not an optimal Yagi anyway, but I think you can do that just fine. I think you'll find that it defies logic, but a lot of people put the smaller antenna on top. But it's really a question of spacing. The question is this, can you make it 10 feet between the two instead of 4 or 5?
Well, I don't want to. It's a lightweight 40-foot easy weight tower, and I don't want to go that much mast. Would it make it that much better to space it that far?
Well, I think at 10 feet, I think we can probably ignore any major interactions between the two antennas. The jury's out on the other, but you'll probably do fine.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. WI2W.
Have you, also you might want to put it up on Tower Talk. Of course, by the time you get done with that, you'll have 4 opinions that, will lead you to no logical answer.
Well, I'm familiar with how the tri-bander performs, so if I put if I raise it up a few feet and I put the 6-meter beam below it and the tri-bander changes, then I'll know I got an issue. And like I said, the 6-meter is really incidental. It's not primary to my needs, so as long as it works and it's directional, that'd be good enough for me.
Gotcha, that makes good sense. All right. Very, very good. Thank you for that question. That's a good question. Anybody else have any thoughts they want to bring forth? All righty. Well, I think we'll wrap up the net. I'll hang here, and I'll be on 442 as well. But I'm going to do a couple of different things. Since I got that experiment I want to do with the Pi. And that should be fun, so I'll get that squared away. And we'll see what gets. So, I want to thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of the repeater. I do want to point out that our trustee, K2ETN, is moving to Alabama to live with his son and daughter-in-law. He'll be moving on Tuesday. His closing, I think, is Monday. And he's got his new house down there already squared away, and the closing for that is tomorrow, and an attorney's taking care of that because everybody's up here. So it'll be pretty exciting to see. But needless to say, Andy, who's been our trustee for a long time, will be greatly missed. He's a great technical resource as well as a good guy. So if you do get a chance to drop him a note, K2ETN, I think it is LaurelNetworks. If not, you can probably find it. If not, send me a note and I'll forward it to him somehow or another. But he's been our chief engineer, our controller god, and our trustee for a long time, so it's all good. So anyway, I hope everybody everybody's having a good Hanukkah, and I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving and is getting ready for a good Christmas, a happy Christmas, and a happy New Year. This is KTBR thanking everybody and wishing you well. Don't forget to TTT.
KD2EXB, listening.
Modify that in the settings over there and put your name in there and put down whatever time you're in rather than put down the device you're using.
Oh, I know. I just got a different phone. I gotta set all that up.
Alright, very good, yeah. You know, I went into work today. So, as far as I know, I'm working 2 to 10. I go over to one site and the guy calls me up. He has another guy working my shift. He puts me in this other building over here, and I got stuck coming in at 6, and I got to stay till 5 in the morning. And I got another shift I got to do 8 to 4 tomorrow, and I have an overnight weekend. I got 11 to 7 Friday and Saturday. Unbelievable.
Wait, you're doing an 11-hour shift? Going home for 2 hours and coming back in? I don't even think that's legal.
Yeah, I get off at 5, then I got to go back in at 8. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous. I did that one other night. I think I did 11 or 12 hours the night before Thanksgiving. Then I got off, and then I had to work 2 to 10.
Yeah, it's not even legal. Anything you work over 10 hours, they're supposed to give you 8 hours off in between, minimum, to get sleep before they call you back in.
Yes, if I wanted the time off, I said I need the money. You know, there was another time I worked for two companies, and I worked like four shifts straight.
You're going to end up killing yourself doing that.
Yeah, I know. That's what he said to me. I said, I'm already killing myself working these overnight shifts over here. I don't really want them. I want to talk to the... This is the personnel manager that plays the game with me. I'm going to talk to the office manager tomorrow. He's in. I'm going to explain it very nicely. I'm going to say, you know, you give me a shift working 2 to 10, Monday through Thursday. That's a shift I want to work. I don't want to be doing these overnight shifts over here. These overnights are killing me. And then they have me working Monday through Thursday, 2 in the afternoon until 10. Then they had me put me on a shift for Sunday, working 4 to 12. And I worked the other company. I worked Friday and Saturday overnight. I go in 11 at night till 7 in the morning, which I hate them shifts. So a couple weeks I got to go in at 6 in the morning and work till 2 for one company. Then I go down the street and then I work 2 to 10 for the other company. I got to do that for 4 days. Not next week, but the week after.
I'll tell you what, man. The company that you're working for tonight, you're thinking you work 11 hours, go home for 2 or 3 and then come back in for another 8-hour shift. That's actually illegal.
I just wanted to work my 8-hour shift today, the one I was supposed to work, go home at 10, go get some sleep, and come back in and work 8 to 4 is what I wanted to do. And then I go home at 4, and then I got to do that overnight, 11 to 7 for the other company. It's all I wanted to do. I didn't want these other shifts, but I got to talk to the guy. Originally, he offered this shift to me, and I told him I didn't want it. I didn't like working these long hours on the overnight shift. I mean, I get too old for this crap.
Well, I hear you. Who's the other station trying to get in there? I hear somebody trying to get in there, but they're not making... All right, Bill. I'm going to leave down here, try and get some rest. I'll be out here listening to them. You have yourself a good night, and but I will be out here listening.
All right, 73. I know the call. I know the voice. I just can't remember the first name. All right, 73. I'll catch you later. Give me one half point.
Yeah, the first name is Victor. I'm usually on here talking to Rocky and a bunch of you guys. It's been quiet out here tonight. All right. I'll talk to you a bit later. KC2YJB. Clear for listening.
Hi, Victor. I'll catch you later. I don't know if Charlie got his car back yet. He probably won't be on. And maybe Steve and Rocky will pop in here later. Maybe we'll get some of the other regulars in here. All right. KB1FY, listening via Echo Link over here. I got Wi-Fi here, so I can... I believe it's connected.
KD2BOR, listening.
Yeah, good morning, Rocky. KD1IFY, how you doing this morning? Victor was just out there.
I heard you guys talking. I was just getting myself settled in here, just opening the door. It's nice, got the door open tonight, nice and warm.
Yeah, I poked my head before. It looked like it was raining over here, so I don't know. Yeah, so you heard what happened to me over here. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I heard, Bill. That's a shame. You're going to be tired, that's for sure. No doubt about it.
Yeah, no, I'm going to be tired. That's the problem. You know, the way I had it set... He screwed me the other day, though, because I told him I needed Monday and Wednesday off. He tries to call me on my cell phone. He doesn't call my house phone, even if I was coming in Tuesday. I told the other guy that I work with that I needed him to work Monday and Wednesday because I had something to do. So he said to me, can you work this other shift, the overnight shift last night, which I agreed on because... I was supposed to go in at 2 and won't make it back by 2, which was fine. I go to work tonight, he still asked me what I'm doing here. I said, I'm supposed to be here tonight. Oh, I told you to go to the other location. I said, no, you didn't tell me to come over here. So I'm like, playing freaking games with me over here. And he asked me about if I was working Sunday. I said, no, usually I work at the other site on Sunday, but I'm not sure. I have something in the afternoon I wanted to do. I was invited to a party. He gets the overnight. Okay, I could take that overnight on Sunday, but the rest of the week I'm going to come. I don't want to work those overnights.
Unbelievable. Unreal. Bill, let me get right back to you. I got to check something. He said tires were delivered, and I don't have them. All right, I'll get right back to you. KD2BOR.
Hi, Rock, what you got to do? I'm going to leave the Echo link connected up. I'm on Wi-Fi over here, so it doesn't make any difference. All right, KD1IFY is listening. Maybe some of the other regulars have jumped in.
Yeah, Rocky, I'm going to be clear, but listen, I just wanted to say good morning to you. CC2YJV.
Yeah, Rocky, you still there?
He's going to be back. He's supposed to have some tires delivered. He doesn't see him, but he's going to look.
Ah, QSL. All right. Out of here until I pass out. Things said to disconnect in 15 minutes in case I pass out.
All right, Greg, he's probably listening. He's probably not near the radio. All right. Give me one ask why he's back on the listening test.
I'm back. 32, BOR.
Good evening, Rocky.
Good evening, Vic. Did you get my message yesterday?
What message?
Sent it to that cell phone that you gave me, that number.
Oh, my 6600 number?
Yes.
I didn't get anything from you, man.
Do you have my number logged in that phone with my name?
Yes, I do.
I don't know why it didn't go through. I just want to let you know I hit the database yesterday. It now says general.
Well, congratulations there, brother.
I went up to Yonkers Saturday and took the test. Passed it, no problem. Now I'm a general.
Awesome. Congratulations. You're going to love it.
Yep, I did that 2 weeks steady of the flashcard system that I use. And on Wednesday before I took the test, I started doing the practice tests. And by the time Saturday came around, I was acing every test that I took. Saturday morning, I took 3 tests before I left at Debbie's house, and I aced all 3 of them.
Well, I'm glad to hear it, man. That's awesome. So, you'll be joining us on HF soon, then, huh?
Yeah, I got to do something about an antenna. I can only get the Antron to tune up to 17. I'm only doing 10, 12, and 17 right now. I gotta do something about an antenna, but I gotta talk to my landlord first.
Tell him if you put up a dipole, it's good. It's a wire, it's basically invisible. And in case anything ever happens in a disaster or a power outage or whatever else, you still got communications.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. This weather's not going to stay like this. I'm not too much pushing on it till the springtime, because once it gets cold again, I'm not doing anything outside.
Yeah, it's supposed to get really cold tonight, I hear.